morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Good to see many who have been out with various illnesses, able to be back with us. You were greatly missed, and I know you greatly missed being here. We're certainly thankful when we see those who have been away back with us. Any time that we get to spend with them. I want to call your attention to Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, where the psalmist here says, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed, my roaring all the day long, day and night. Psalmist is talking about the fact that his sin lies heavy upon his heart. There's a word that we have for that, and it's called our conscience. Weight of a guilty conscience burdened with non-repented, non-confessed sin. You'll notice there's nothing said here about repentance of sin or a confession of sin. It's just an acknowledgement of sin. I've sinned against God, and God knows I've sinned against Him, and that's not good. What about you this morning? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody sins. Sometimes we try to dismiss our sin, and we can acknowledge our sin, and we can acknowledge. That there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men. Paul here says, I do my best. Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 through 15 talks about the Gentiles who do not have the law. They don't have the Mosaic law. They have the patriarchal law of God, the moral law of God. But he says they, by nature, do things in the law. They don't have the Ten Commandments, but they, by nature, do the things of the Ten Commandments, is basically what he's saying. These, although they have not the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. So they don't have the written law, but they practice the law because of what's in their heart. Their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Then in Romans 9 and verse 1, it says, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. You know when you're lying, and Paul says, I'm not lying. I'm telling you sincerely from the heart and from my own conscience, in agreement with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the truth. Always does. But our conscience is something that needs to be educated. Our conscience is something, if it's not educated, will lead us astray. In John 8 and verses 7 through 9, it says, they continued asking Jesus about a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, and the law says such a one should be stoned to death. He raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Law says this woman and the one she was with should be stoned. They didn't include the one she was with, but the law does. They conveniently left that out. But so Jesus said, okay, well, the one of you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so as they examined themselves, were honest with themselves, they said, I'm not qualified. Although it is a judge, a personal judge, it is not the standard of judgment. It is not the standard of truth by which we will be judged. Paul had a good conscience, but his conscience was in error. His conscience had not embraced the truth. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he says, Indeed, I myself thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In good conscience, he was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was not the promised Messiah. He was wrong, but his conscience was clear, even when he was wrong. God's word is the only standard of truth. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed to his Father on the night before he was crucified, prayed for the apostles and for all who would believe on him. He says, sanctify them, set them apart for their holy purpose. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. Much earlier in his ministry, in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God's word is truth. It is the source of truth. In every subject that it addresses, truth brings a convicted and guilty conscience to a crossroad. So your conscience needs to be educated with truth for it to be a dependable judge of your actions and of your place before God. God's word is the standard of truth that you want your conscience to be educated in, so that you can have an absolute clear conscience before God. But when we begin educating ourselves and our conscience with the truth of God's word, you're going to find that you're going to be faced with decisions. And you're going to choose one of two directions to go. One, your conscience can be seared. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the truth. Some who have heard the truth and obeyed the truth and have practiced the truth and are practicing the faith will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So, here are people who have come to know the truth, but because of their tendency to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, self-serving, they listen to people who say, well, it's okay to sin, who would say that you can, they would justify the practice of what God identifies as sin. And so having itching ears, you listen to that, you want that to be true, and you allow yourself to be deceived. And you continue in the lies, you continue in the falsehood, you continue to go away from the truth. He says your conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. Have you ever seen anything seared? You don't want your conscience to be like that. You don't want your hand, your fingers to become seared, do you? you don't feel anything. It doesn't feel bad. You're not like that psalmist that we saw there at the beginning of this lesson. You're no longer touched. So when our conscience hears the truth, and it teaches us that we're wrong and we need to change, and we don't change, and we continue on our own way, we stubbornly do what we want to do rather than what God teaches us to do, our conscience will become seared. Or the truth of God's word will purge our conscience, will cleanse our conscience. Hebrews 9 and verses 13 through 14 says it this way: if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. That's what happened in the Mosaic Law. They were told to offer sacrifices as described here. And if you offered the sacrifice, then you had a clear conscience. But that was all kind of, okay, here's a bull, here's a goat, here's the ashes of a heifer, here's the sprinkling of the, you know, it's all kind of outward. No real changes in here. I can do this all out here. It's like I can go to church, I can go to Bible study, and I can look like I'm a Christian, right? I can look to others like I'm a Christian, but in my mind, I'm harboring sin. I'm practicing what I want to do. But under the Mosaic Law, you could have a good feeling about yourself if you offered the sacrifices. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he's the genuine sacrifice, he's the male lamb without spot, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So if your appeal is not to the things of the Mosaic Law, your appeal is to Christ and his sacrifice, and you recognize that he is the Word of God made flesh and died for us, that he is the embodiment of truth, and that you receive that word of truth into your heart and into your spirit and into your conscience, and you receive it and you practice it just as he teaches us to do it, you have a clear conscience. Am I okay before God? Am I going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? It's not I hope so. I'm not hoping against hope. I hope so, but my hope is valid. It's a valid hope. It's based upon his revelation of truth. And the fact that I'm abiding in that truth, that I'm not living a dual life. I'm not going through the motions of a Christian. I'm living the life of one who follows Christ. And if I'm doing that, then I have an assurance. My conscience bears witness. I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness that I'm speaking the truth. And I have a good feeling about the future, even into eternity. I'm not deceiving myself. I'm not picking and choosing which parts of God's word I'm going to practice and not practice. But I want the whole heart follow him. Notice also Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What do you do when you sprinkle water? Sprinkle it when you separate it. Separate the water. That's what he's saying here. Having your hearts separated from an evil conscience. Not a conscience that says, okay, you can look like a Christian, but you're going to do things that a Christian
I'm going to suffer my heart.
Have our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering.
Don't waver. Are you going to be tempted? Yeah, but hold fast.
Salvation that is in Him. He who promised is faithful. You don't want God to be one who says, I'll save you, and then a week later says, let me think about that. No, He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He said, I'll save you and my Son, Jesus Christ. You follow Him, and you're going to follow Him all the way to heaven, into eternity. Doubt about it. You be faithful. Don't waver. So the cure for the pangs of a guilty conscience, if you are here this morning and you're like that psalmist who is saying, in essence, my sin is always before me. I haven't repented of it. I haven't turned from it. I'm not confessing it. I'm acknowledging it. And God knows about my sin. Are you going to stay where that psalmist was at that point in that psalm, or are you going to advance? Confess.
Trust the faithful promise of forgiveness that we have from God.
1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, God who is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, purify ourselves. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, not just acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. When we read the word of God and the word of God convicts us and we harden our heart, we sear our conscience and we say, I'm not really a sinner. God's word says we are. Somebody's lying. And it's not God. The sooner we recognize our sin, repent of it, and confess it, the better off we'll be, and the clearer conscience we will have, and the full assurance of our hope will be realized. The cure for our guilty conscience is repentance. As Jesus says in Luke 13, 3 and 5, unless you repent, unless you turn around, you will perish. God's word is faithful. Does that mean me? That can't mean me, can it? I mean, everybody thinks I'm a good Christian. Everybody thinks I'm at least a pretty good person. Everybody sins. Unless you repent, you will perish. Me? I'm mostly good. Just a few things down here that God's word convicts me of. unless you repent, you will perish. God wants us at His side. He wants us with Him. But God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. He cannot tolerate darkness. God is pure. There is no impurity in Him. And He cannot tolerate impurity in His midst, in His fellowship. He will not fellowship it. Except you repent, you will perish. So if you recognize your sin, turn from your sin. Clear your conscience. Confess your sin. Psalm 32 and verse 5, going back to the psalm. What did the psalmist do with his sin? He recognized it. He acknowledged it. It was tearing him apart. So I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God forgives us of our sin if we will repent and confess it. James tells us to confess our trespasses to one another, to pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't just acknowledge your sin. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another. Be healed. Have a clear conscience. As Paul said, I do my best to maintain a blameless conscience. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. All who repent, all who confess, all who live faithfully. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope, without wavering. Don't be like those who had embraced the faith and then gave heed to seducing doctrines of demons, but remained faithful. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. I will do my best to maintain a blameless conscience. Are you? Or have you heard the deceptions of the demons? Have you thought, I'm mostly okay? Or are you pure as He is pure? Are you holy as He is holy? Are you light as He is light? Is that your desire? Let your conscience be your guide, but let the truth of God's word be the guide of your conscience. Oh, you are guilty of sin. Are you ready to follow Christ and live for Him? Glorify God in your life? Turn from your sin? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we'd encourage you this morning to repent, to turn to Him, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, obey Christ in baptism, being baptized for the remission of your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life with Him, always doing those things that He teaches from His Word. If you're here today and you're a child of God, out of favor with God because of the sin that you've accepted into your life, no longer just recognize your sin, but turn from your sin. Let us pray with you and for you as you confess your sin. Would you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?